And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Promise to speaker right now. This is amazing to me. We have Harry Reid in the Senate, and it's all about how they're going to work with the Speaker of the House. The new Speaker of the House just passed a freaking atrocious spending. God, I'm just, to pay attention to these guys. It's just I hate even reading this stuff. I feel like I need to take a bath. You know, I got to scrub my brain of just the crap. I mean, it's like, all right, blah, 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 you know, appropriations and yada, yada. That means if Democrats objected to a specific policy right or Republicans attached to a spending bill, such as one to defund Planned Parenthood, Reid could block that bill from reaching a final vote. That was perfectly within the rights of the Senate minority party, Ryan acknowledged. Now, whether they filibuster a bill getting off the floor because of some rider, I can't speak to that, Ryan told reporters last week. I assume all minorities will preserve such rights, but Senator Reid has impressed upon me his desire to get the appropriations process functioning again. Appropriations means spending money. We need to, you know, hey, man. There's a lot of money that didn't get spent that we could have spent, and now we got, you know, extensions on the cap of whatever we need it to be until September of, 16 or something, until we get right before another administration and a new Congress. And Senator Reid, this is his last year. He's retiring. He did enough damage. So they're going, we got to get this appropriate. We got to get some got to get some money spent, man. There's a whole bunch. You know, we just got to work. And in here, it documents how you got to meet us halfway. You know, you got to give us some. We'll give you some. We'll have the welfare and the warfare state get fully funded on both sides if you just work with me. Come on, work with me, boy. You know, shoot, didn't you know how this is done, you youngin? And what's Ryan? I think he's like 45 years old. So it's, you don't get to be speaker without being one of the boys. But that's what we got coming for us. When they always say, we got gridlock. Yeah, there's too many Democrats, too many Republicans, we got gridlock. So I'm going, you know, good. Gridlock is good. Good gridlock, good. Well, what happens? You know, they got the gridlock in there and they don't spend. Well, that's what they've been complaining about. Look, we haven't got appropriations going enough. We spent ourselves into oblivion, but not on everything that we wanted to do. So that is the promise. That is the promise that they're going to work together. Well, don't you feel safer? You know? No. Yep. Dr. Frank decided to come grace us. Grace us. You just can't. That 3 minutes, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. I'm off on something else. You just can't do it. Got to help me out here, man. All right. Dr. Frank, he's in. You're going to get some. I tell you, in the third hour, Michael Belfore is going to be spending time with us on Falcon 9's first stage landing. I'm looking forward to that. And then, and we were talking about, you know, all the stuff you missed, man. Dang. All right. Gotta get you caught up here. All right. The one article on Donald Trump, the fear is visible. The ugly truth Donald Trump has exposed. And what they're talking about in here is that we have Donald Trump is representative of, somebody's got to be in trouble. Somebody's got to stay after school. Somebody's got, for this. The Big Short movie just came out. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I want to go see it. So I may take time. I go by myself because everybody is like, and I got to kind of, I said,
we'll go together.
tonight, this afternoon, to now.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm trying to, you know, get freaking, I got to go see this movie. And, you know, everybody's been, you know, if I wait on Don to go see a movie, I never go see a movie. You know, I just go, I always got somebody, grand kid, something. You know, we just go. I would like to see this movie. Mm-hmm. And it's and the point is that at the end, you're left unsatisfied. Biggest ripoff in human history, and nobody went to jail for it. And they're going to do it again. Why? Because people don't know what the hell is going on to even have an informed opinion. But they kind of feel, you know, crap went bad, and they're going, you know what? This whole thing, and Trump is perceived as being outside of this whole thing, so they're going, you know, we vote him. Yeah, but he said crazy's good. That went up another couple of points. Yeah, but he won't put up, and he won't work with, and he kind of, and he's got a funny haircut. Good. Two more points. I mean, you know, it's just this is what is driving people, is they're just know that it's, and they're still in the system. After this election cycle, they're going to start kind of extracting themselves even more, going local, secession movements. We had Michael Badnarik on yesterday. He's going back to Texas. You know, he's done taking care of his parents. His mother died. His father's taken care of now. So he's going back to Texas so that he can help foment the, you know, secession so he can run for president of Texas. You know, the libertarian nominee for president, 04. You know, Texas, you want some secession? You want to talk about what's up? Here we go. I don't know. What do you think? Texas should get some secessionizing?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, Texas, I think, is the role model. And, you know, they forward thinking to be able to put that in their state constitution. So, you know, I think Texas ultimately is a role model. You know, I'm looking at your info regarding the Big Short. You know, I certainly want to see it. And I know you seem to assume that it's going to be a good... Well, I guess, I mean, actually, I did get good reviews. 3.5 stars from even the review sites that I tend to really trust. My concern, though, is that, you know, after the housing debacle, it was interesting how the Peter Schiff's of the world and many people from the Austrian world, you know, we predicted this problem for years. And
Peter Schiff did it like 2 years before it happened at
2 years.
Freedom Summit.
Well, Freedom Summit, he was talking about it 5 years before that. As a matter of fact, the best Peter Schiff video, if those of you don't know, cause I'm kind of a diehard Schiff guy for a long time. I mean, Erwin Schiff, you know, I was following him when he was, I had lunch with him back in 92, Erwin, when he did his Federal Mafia book tour. My father actually will be here a little bit later. I mean, he and I actually had lunch with him after one of his seminar breaks. But, you know, when you sit there with Peter Schiff, the best video you can watch, and you can Google it or face it's on YouTube, which is Peter Schiff where it's speaking at the real estate investors summit. And it was when he spoke to the real estate investors back in 2002. I think it was 2002, 2003. So it wasn't even a few years before when he was doing all the YouTube things, and that Peter Schiff was right. Peter Schiff's greatest claim to fame, and he'll say it, although, you know, everyone knows him for these videos.
It didn't start till 05.
No, I know. It didn't start. I mean, that's when people started watching the Peter Schiff was right video, which was an amalgam of all these different videos from CNBC and Fox and all of that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is there is a video of him giving, he was a speaker at a real estate convention about how, you know, how these flipping, mortgages and such were doing the arms and all this kind of thing. Back in 2002. And you pull it up. It's like an hour talk where he was schooling the bankers and the housing loan market. He was sitting, I mean, he was not, no, nobody. I mean, this is before YouTube, before he was even on Fox News. He spoke for half an hour, an hour. That, if you want to know Peter Schiff was right, that is the video you pull up. And maybe on the break, I'll try and help you find it to pull it up. Because that is the ultimate where he's explaining point for point for point calmly over half an hour or an hour. It wasn't a bunch of sound bites from different Fox News things. Anyway, my point is that our community had figured this out a long time ago, and then, you know, then became more well-known on the YouTube circuit. But then you know, we've been saying that it's not the bankers, it's the Federal Reserve and the government that spiked the punch, which is why the bankers did what they did. My concern is that after the banking crisis of 2008, the liberals all came out with their version of events saying, oh, it's all the evil bankers' fault, and they missed the government. My concern with a bunch of liberal actors is they're going to be blaming government again. I'm sorry, blaming the bankers and not the government.
I think they got some blame.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Because I felt like it, because I can't. I'm looking forward to a nice Christmas. It's going to be nice weather here. That's one thing that, you know, to us, it's not snowing. I mean, even when it's really cold, we'll be outside usually, or at least some of the stuff is outside because you just need more room. That's one thing. It's hard in these big families and small houses, and now here in Arizona, you usually got ranch houses, kind of all on one floor, big because land was cheap back in the day. So you have this lot of land and, you know, warm weather. So it's a nicer time for us. All right. Headlines, there's all kinds of stuff going on here we can go over, but we need to get an update on Trump. Dr. Tamburi, help us get updated on Trump. What's up?
Well, Trump rose in the polls again. He basically broke through. Of course, you know, there's the national polls, there's the Iowa polls, there's the individual primary polls. He's still slightly behind with Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz has been moving up in Iowa, mainly because he's been dealing with the evangelical vote there. But he's been about neck and neck with Trump, depending on the type of polls that you have there, which, you know, shows going into the holiday season that, you know, Trump's making some movement. That's because of the last debate. He didn't do too bad. He kept his distance from Cruz. And Cruz, the issue with Cruz as well, is he was doing well. And then there was that pile on Rubio. And what's interesting is that, you know, Rubio really took the hit. Looks like he probably lost. Most people agreed that Rubio lost the last debate, which I think is finally good to see, because he is the new Obama. And I think the Republicans began to see his weakness. And his Achilles heel is, of course, the Gang of Eight and his issue with illegal immigration. So they're going to nail him on that. And the problem with the establishment is that, you know, they've put everything onto Jeb Bush, and now Jeb he's not going to be the guy, and they have to find someone else to be able to jump onto. So that's probably going to be Rubio and all the billionaires of the establishment, one at a time. They keep jumping ship from Jeb, and they're all now endorsing Rubio as their main candidate. And
I'm not counting out Jeb, man.
I know. You still say, if it's Jeb, it's Jeb. But
we're
the thing
find
is,
out.
The money's all going into Rubio, and then the thing with Rubio is, they're putting one foot off the cliff, and the establishment is not sure whether or not to put the other foot and jump in wholeheartedly into Rubioville. But this Gang of Eight issue is really his problem, and it was exposed from all fronts by Trump, by Cruz,
Okay, there's two things that enter into this. The article that Harry Reid, you know, in the Senate, you know, majority leader, whatever leader he is, and he's retiring this year. He's going to Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House now. We can work a deal. We got to get this appropriations money spending thing. In my last year, I got to make some billions for my buddies here. We need to get with the program. Absolutely. We need to, you know, as long as you're not touching some of our, so this is the deal. If you don't try and, like, defund Planned Parenthood or attack affirmative action or go after immigration or, you know, whatever these hot-button gay and GOP issues like guns and, you know, whatever, if you guys can, you know, stop all that crap, you know, we can just get down to spending some money, all right? So that is what the promise is and the goal. On the Cruz thing, I look at this and I'm going, you know, it keeps popping up every now and then, but I don't think it's been emphasized enough, and that means it's going to be. This is not something that you're going to forget. His wife works for Goldman Sachs. I'm going, how is that not mentioned? How is that not relevant? Mm-hmm. That she's like a biggie over at Goldman Sachs, and I'm going, hello, you know, so this is, I don't see that being, you know, forgotten. I mean, is it, they believe it's some kind of asset? I mean, is it, is some kind of trait that gives him some more credibility or something? Or, you know, what about with American people? That's, I say that, you know, they, that's going to become common knowledge at just the right time, and it's going to be, and another couple of percent for Trump, you know, and then what? I don't know. But we're coming up on, it's the end of December, and that means that the Iowa, I guess they're going to caucus. They said they weren't, now they are, you know. So the Iowa caucus, do you know what the date is on that, when that happens?
No, I think it's February somewhere.
And, you know, New Hampshire. So within a month or so, you know, we're going to find out, you know, they're going to start seeing what's what. The Iowa caucus is just, it's who can spend the money in the ground game if I got buses. That's all that is. And it, when you, it became obvious during the 08, you know, Ron Paul thing, we're just going, well, what is this about? It's just, I go, they're just buses. And they go, yeah, who can get the most people on the buses? That's what this is. It's a, the ground, it's the organization of the ground game of you kind of in the party and the loud and the, you know, precinct or whatever. And I'm going, okay, that's what you're measuring. All right, you know, cool. I, that's one way of doing it. Then you got the primary stuff, the people directly get to kind of work work it out in New Hampshire. So I'm going, then they do the first primary, the first vote, the first Dixville notch, first ones that do it. Well, in 92, Andre Mourou won that. The Libertarian won Dixville notch. You know, of all the parties and everything, he won. And it's not important anymore. We don't care anymore. It's only when it serves their purpose. And Libertarians go, ooh, we'll win Dixville Notch, and then we'll be, that's, we got, ooh, we're going to the dance now. And they go, yeah, we don't care. And I'm going, God, man, why did you think, you know, ugh, you just want to slap people? It's whatever the media says. And that was one of the other articles that we had. They're talking about the media and how Trump is coming up. And it's just, people know that they lie. Well, if that doesn't get reinforced at the water cooler in the public opinion, doesn't matter. So that's why I'm saying, what's ever at the water cooler? That's my vote. So this the next, you know, debate, do you know when that is?
I believe it's the end of February, end of January, early February. I think it's right before the first primary.
Now, what they're saying is that they're going, all right, for to have this debate to be in it, there's some new criteria they'll start weaning off. They're going to try and get down to 5 or 6 or something.
Yeah, it might be done there for Rand there. You know, the thing is, as far as their polls, you know, it's not just Trump. I mean, this whole thing has been the establishment versus anti-establishment. And, you know, they keep trying to say, well, Trump doesn't have the percentage, you know, to win. And he does. I mean, he's been the primary leader, the front runner for since what? July, you know, whatever it is, and now he's at 43%. There's another one saying 37%, and that's after, we'll get to later, the Hillary Clinton schlong comment, which I think was fantastic. But, you know, you sit there and you take Donald Trump, and he's at, you know, 40%. And then you take Cruz, and he's at, you know, 25%, or depends on which poll. And then you look at Ben Carson, who's, you know, about 9%. And what I'm saying is, if you just take those three, you're already looking at 70%. 70%. I mean, that's the issue. And that's what, you know, it's not about the individual. I mean, this whole debate, and Trump has exposed, I've said from over and over, this is the establishment versus the anti-establishment. And, you know, with Trump at 40, then you add in 30, and then you add in 10, you know, that's close to 70, 80% is anti-establishment. So when if Cruz drops out, that's not going to go to Bush or Rubio. That's going to Trump. And if when Dr. Carson drops out, it's going to Trump or Cruz. So this whole thing, that's what I think people don't realize. It's 70% plus automatic anti-establishment.
You know, we're going to see if Rand leans a little bit of that, and if he's even in the next debate.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Romero, año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
You know, here in Arizona, a multicultural, it was definitely two cultures. We had the Hispanic culture here, and the Southwestern pioneer kind of merged in some Native American kind of stuff, and it was, I liked it. I liked it. And then it got into this anti-immigration of Mexicans, kind of, oh, here's me some accordions, and we must get out the shotguns and get in our pickup truck and go get some. You know, I'm just, I really feel like we've diminished, you know, a lot of the spirit of Christmas, a lot of the benefits of the diverse, you know, culture. I just, as long as there's no coercion or force or, you know, violating of, I mean, we did have a problem with New Year's Eve gunfire into the air, kind of, you know, that was probably a bad idea, you know, but people, yeah, that's a cultural thing and kind of got to, you know, take care of that. But I, you know, it was, I don't see we're going down the right path. And I'm wondering the support for Trump, where it comes from all angles. Now, of course, they're going to emphasize, you know, Bubba America. But when you're at that big a percentage, you know, it's more than just that. You know, there's other stuff going on here. And it's, I'm wondering if your social acceptance quotient goes up or down. Now, on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, there's an article that is about citizenship scores that they're wanting to do in China. And it's how you're going to get people to just, social pressure. You're going to get, you know, your friends that you're friends with on your Facebook equivalent of whatever the hell, you know, an Amazon equivalent is Alibaba. And that's why they open Sesame. That's why they call this one program Sesame. And it is your social score, just like a credit score. Who your friends are, what you advocate, what you push. If you're forwarding articles about how great and wonderful the government is, well, your score goes up. Now on dating sites in China, they're actually starting to show their social score. You know, their government-approved score. I'm a 500 and whatever the heck's good. You know, you should date me. And not this other guy that's a rebellious little scumbag that's only got a 2, you know. So I'm going, this is, so I'm wondering in the evaluation of America and Americans, you know, the support for something like Trump, that gives you a plus or a minus on the we love government score.
Oh, well, they hate government. They love Trump. I mean, he represents everything anti. Of course, you know, the problem is that someone like him very well might be really everything that you despise. Someone who despises government and yet seems to have a carte blanche check by the American people to say what he wants and to maybe do what he wants. And the concern I had, I mentioned at the end of last show, is because of the excessive allowance of liberals to use the, you know, executive order pen. That means now the next Republican and the American people have been conditioned that the president is a king. And you can use it more. So as much as Trump is the anti-government, anti-establishment candidate, strangely enough, he will be, you know, not reined in by government, not reined in by Democrats, not reined in by the establishment Republicans, not reined in by political correctness. He'll be just a force to himself.
Will he be reined in by the Constitution?
With a pen, well, you'd think so. But, you know, you see how Obama and an executive order has gotten around that. And so when you have someone like Trump who negotiates the way he does, that has the American people behind him almost regardless of what he says. I mean, it's fun in a way when he says, you know, talks about Hillary Clinton being schlonged and whatever else. Yeah, it's all fun and dandy, and it makes great for theater and TV and how he's sticking it to the man and to the media. I mean, that's all fun to see. The question is, does it stop at the media, or is that type of, I hate to use the word bullying, continue when he's hit with regulations and the Constitution? And that's really the issue. That's why, unlike, you know, some people who keep asking me if I'm, you know, they can't figure out if I'm supporting Trump and I'm a Trump guy. No, I've never endorsed him yet. I support his candidacy for exposing the system. That's another story. But that's why I have my reservations with him, because I don't think, I mean, to me, the jury's still out with him. You know, I think the very abilities he has to stick it to the system, which is why he's going up in the polls. The question is does he have the brakes? Is this for theater and for show to get to where he needs to be to make real change? Or is there something that once he gets there, he won't be able to stop? And not just his own ego about this, but the American people will have been so fed up with the system violating their rights, like Obamacare being passed, you know, with 2 hours to go, and Nancy Pelosi saying we got to pass it to see what's in it, and the Anti-Patriot Act being passed with no one reading it, and this trade thing, just what happened a few weeks ago, you know, with the United Nations or whatever it was, this big trade thing nobody read. I even forget the name of it. It was barely
G20s, whatever the hell.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I
their
mean,
Paris excuse of the environmental somebody for, we got, they always got some meeting there.
It was like a month ago. Yeah.
They're taking a machete to, you know, my rights.
That's the danger.
Well, this is, you know, the question. I can't remember. Certainly not making a big deal out of it, any presidential executive order being undone by a subsequent president. I don't remember any of that happening. So if Obama comes in and does, well, you know, I know what they want. I can tell you what they want. This is what's going to come. You're going to go, Ernie, you're so prophetic. Let me tell you what it is. Obama's going to come up and say, well, of course, we can't have these people that are on a no-fly list or some government list. Well, of course, they shouldn't be allowed to buy a gun. Okay. How do you get on or off that list? Well, they don't know. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. So you get on the list. I mean, this is a list. They're permanent record of the list. You know, and that's why I don't want, when they're starting to go after your social score, like a government credit score that's based on your purchases and your paying history and your political compliance. When they start, I mean, it's political compliance. When they start doing that, that is going to go down to just even school kids. They're already doing it in the United Kingdom. If your child demonstrates some, you know, tendencies towards blah, 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 that goes on their permanent record. It also determines whether you even get closed circuit television in your home. A lot of people don't know that. Look at it. Closed circuit television, United Kingdom, home. Just do that and you'll go, damn, they're putting them in houses? Yeah. If you got some kind of, it's like if you get welfare or food stamps or whatever, Jessica, sign here, you get a camera in your house or you don't get the food. And they'll go, okay, you know, some people, yeah, bring it on, you know, whatever. So I'm just like, wow, this is going to be when Trump, you know, should he become president, he gets in there, he has the ability to do executive order. Is he going to undo this? Everybody on the list, whatever that is, no fly list, something, can't get a gun by Obama. Now, I'm wondering if anybody even asked him the question. When you get in, will you undo this and a bunch of other stuff? Because once you start, where do you stop? Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you counter, undo, executive sign of un, executive order of un, you know, all these other executive orders? They never do that. And nobody's ever asked a question. So I'm wondering, you know, and that seems like a Trumpism. He'd come out and go, yeah, I'm going to undo all the kind of, boom, you're dead. You know, I mean, these are not done without the approval and demand of they, them, those. So I'm going, they want, what they, them, those have always wanted, was a list. That with you being on this list, it makes sure you gotta and you can't and always, and we get part of tracking of whatever. Will Obama do that? Yeah, that's pretty much what you can count on is going to happen. Will Trump undo it? Vote for me and I'll undo that. Will he undo presidential executive order?
That's the promise. And if anyone can do it, he would.
Has he said he would?
No, but I think it implies it.
uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Christmas theme song. I mean, it's just, I really, and as you know more about, you know, John Lennon and the times and what he was up against, there's a movie called The U.S. versus John Lennon, and I really highly recommend that. You'll really have a greater respect for his power as just a pop icon and how he used it for good. You know, a lot of people don't. In fact, they make sure that the Britney Spears and the, you know, the Biebers and whatever is talking to the Kardashians is, you know, look at my cleavage Facebook of Twitter of I did somebody. And I'm going, this is, they don't want you to be serious. Like we have on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix right now, Kurt Russell. I remember computer wore tennis shoes back in the 60s or whatever. As a kid, he was a young guy, you know, got smartified by a computer, electrical, whatever, and he wins game shows. But it was that's when Kurt Russell first went on my radar screen, and he's just been a star ever since. And he comes out, yeah, I'm a libertarian. You know, enough said. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. And certainly on the gun rights issue has been a big deal lately. Well, these guys, you don't see them. You know, they negotiate their own kind of, you know, Quentin Tarantino parts, you know, and it same thing happened with Tom Selleck. You know, these guys that are, you know, and Clint Eastwood, they have to be a big enough star in their own, you know, like Mel Gibson and so on. They have to be a big enough star that they can just bypass the system and produce their own movies, do their own stuff. You know, even Cruise, you know, a lot of these guys, they will fund and produce their own movies, direct their own movies because they have to. Because the establishment, no, they don't get a freebie. You know, well, what's going on in New Hampshire right now? This is it. They built all the national polls and everything. Doesn't matter. I mean, the saying goes, Iowa picks corn and New Hampshire picks presidents. And, you know, Christie was quoted. He goes, "You're the most powerful people in America." Christie, the New Jersey governor, told a crowd in Exeter, "You're going to take this race from 14 people to 4 or 5. After you vote, 10 of us go home." Probably. You know, so there's, I mean, all the boys are, they're giving it what for in New Hampshire. And you got any predictions, Dr. Tamburi? You know, which one do you think is going to come out of here?
Oh, I think it'll be Rubio. I think ultimately, I mean, they're trying to put a lot with Chris Christie. You know, Chris Christie has this big ground game in New Hampshire right now. And, you know, it's he's put a lot of effort into New Hampshire, trying to get the ground game there. Supposedly, he's going to do an upset. At least that's what he's banking on. But although the newest polls, he's only, I think, third or fourth place in New Hampshire.
Rubio?
No, Chris Christie. So he's only third or fourth place, and he's banking everything on in New Hampshire. So, you know, for some of you may not realize, you know, a lot of these candidates, you know, they're getting overshadowed by the national polls. I mean, what's happening is Trump, obviously, Jeb Bush was going to dominate in the national polls, and gosh knows he'd put on Fox News every commercial. There was a Jeb Bush, Jeb until recently. Now there's Jeb Bush, which I have a commercial to show you how he's changed his name again. But they, you know, all you see are the big money people on the national news cycle. And that's where a lot of people think is the real race. in a way it is, because we're, you know, we go with social media and we're more of a national media empire now. But traditionally, you know, before we had ongoing 24-hour cable news and the rest, you know, it really was local. You know, politics is typically started local. And so it's really about Iowa, New Hampshire, at least traditionally. I think this is going to be the election finally that upsets that, where all this emphasis on who wins Iowa and New Hampshire really, you know, it just becomes a moot point. I think we've seen that become less of a problem in time, where, you know, it used to be that whoever won those states typically won the primary and then became, you know, became president. It's not really happening anymore. I mean, just look at Howard Dean with the Dean Scream, you know, or remember Pat Buchanan, you know, he won one, and it just turns into nothing now. So what's happening is that the candidates that don't have enough money to put on 24-hour blitzes on Fox News and, you know, this national stage, they have to put all their emphasis onto the local states. And then hopefully Iowa or New Hampshire, one of them, they win. And then the media covers them. Then they get all the free coverage on the national shows. So that's where, for the record, all these commercials that you're not seeing, all these commercials these candidates are putting out, and they're all on these local shows in the local states. And so there's a whole different political ground game going on right now, with Rand Paul banking that his libertarian people are going to show up in New Hampshire. That's where Rand Paul's putting all of his emphasis. You know, there's a libertarian community there. Chris Christie's pushing there. You've got Iowa, which has more of an evangelical, so Cruz is really pushing there, and he's been battling Trump. So that's why they all think that these primaries are going to change the game. But I think national trumps that now, no pun intended.
Okay. Trump comes in with a national polling, and I'm wondering if he's doing any ground game in New Hampshire. Is he visiting? Is he doing that?
Oh, yeah.
He spent a lot of time there?
Absolutely. New Hampshire, he goes back and forth. And whenever Cruz or, you know, Rubio or someone starts edging up in the polls in one of those states, he just flies back, puts on another convention. I mean, literally a convention where like 4,000 or 5,000 people show up and just obliterates it. And not just for Fox News to cover it, but the local media. I mean, when Trump comes into town, he's taking over the convention center. They're shutting down, you know, the police are, you know, cordoning off streets.
Flying in his Trump
Yeah,
plane.
I mean, it's a big deal. So, I mean, he's getting more coverage in the local states that we don't even see.
I tell you one thing that I just cannot imagine is not emphasized more or brought up is Cruz's wife working for Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. That just befuddles me, man. I'm going, this is what? How are, what? I don't see that. I you know, that's going to tell me everything right there. The Rubio, you know, ain't I Purdy? I did a Saturday Night Live skit. Did you see the Saturday Night Live skit in the debate? We should do that. It is funny as heck. It's just, you know, it's just exactly what you saw. They have them all, you know, doing the, yeah, I'm Rubio. I had the Purdiest up here. You got to vote for me, you know. You know, I'm Trump because, you know, it's just... It's so classic, and it's almost a comedic review in and of, it's like a impromptu stage show, you know, and I'm just in New Hampshire, having been there during this process before and how it works, I'm wondering the impact on the local gatherings that Trump and these other guys do, and I'm wondering how many people even show up for the Jeb Bush thing, because his thing is, he goes, look, humility is not a weakness. It's a strength. I mean, some people don't demonstrate humility enough. And I'm humble. Yeah, that's what I am. That's the ticket. I'm humble, you know, because he's like, I don't know, gray. He's not really there. You can't find him. I mean, but that, I don't know if that appeals to anybody, but I'm wondering who's going to be coming out of New Hampshire. Now, if you looked at the New Hampshire polling, what does it say? You know, the top four or five guys are.
New Hampshire, it's Trump. Trump's top in New Hampshire. I think Paul is, I think, like third. Rubio is like second or so. And Jeb is still like fourth place, fifth place, something like that. So it's still Trump. Trump's leading New Hampshire. Chris Christie has a better showing, and Rand Paul in New Hampshire. And then in Iowa, though, it's basically Cruz and Trump, and Jeb Bush is about third or fourth on
Okay,
there.
I saw on, there was some criteria for the next debate.
Yeah.
You know, we sure had that, and the criteria was, do you remember? It was like, how you did in, God, I can't remember. I should
it's
bring
like
it
three
up.
National polls or... something like
that. Well, it wasn't to do with any primary. It was some kind of polling thing that they recognize. And right. It's Fox, isn't it? Is it a Fox debate?
The next one? Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think it is. Actually, maybe it is.
I think it was because they said that, polls that Fox recognizes. I'm really calling BS on the whole thing.
That's why Ron Paul was kept out of those debates, because they kept coming up to the criteria of who would be in. Fox would have its own poll. Ron Paul wouldn't be in because he wasn't on the TV shows, and then they'd say he wasn't popular enough.
I remember what happened. It was, we were in New Hampshire, and the crowds for Ron Paul were just everywhere. I mean, it was Ron Paul supporters on the ground there, out in the protesting, sign waving, whatever, were equivalent in number to all the other campaigns combined. And what we saw was the Obama was probably second. He didn't get into debates, so Jay Leno invited him on The Tonight Show.
Right, I remember.
So Ron wins anyway. Yeah. It's like, that was way more people watch that. So it was just, Jay Leno, one person can have this kind of impact on just the injustice of crap. So we'll go into a little post-show, just, yak it a little bit and get, go through the news. Because I wanted to get Dr. Tamburi's view on a bunch of this stuff that's, popped up on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. Because there's a lot of things to comment on. But in the next hour, we got just a few minutes, we'll yak it a little bit. But then Michael Belfore, space travel is right next. I just started thinking about sex and space. Then he thought about it because I didn't think it happened.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people.